Yeah, okay. There you go. This is The Frick Show here on Paris Live Radio. My name is Max Kaiser. And just out of curiosity, I have zero sound. But, you know, not that that's going to make a big deal, a big difference.
Every day, it's the same start.
I get nothing out of these headphones, absolutely.
Well, we've got, like, technical problems here. Max can't hear himself. I can hear him very fine. I'm sure everybody else out there can hear him fine.
Well, okay. Well, let's see what's happening in the world today. We have in Singapore, the International Olympic Committee is deciding who will be the recipient of the big Olympic Games in the year of 2012. And as we said yesterday, the insiders are looking for either London or Paris. And there's a big controversy now because Jacques Chirac has criticized England. Oh, that's good. Whatever he did there. That made the sound go higher.
Okay.
Can you do more? Get a little more sound? More? More? Hello? Hello? Yeah, that's good. That's good, yeah. Okay, let's try to remember that. Oh, honey. You're giving me that funny look again.
It's not a funny look. It's an angry look.
Why are you so angry with me? I don't want sound in my headphones.
Yeah, but you do this every morning.
Well, okay. Well, we'll talk about this more during the break.
Okay, what's Jacques Chirac allegedly said?
Well, what did he say about the English?
He said that the only thing they've given to European agriculture is mad cow disease, and only the Finns have worse food.
Okay, that's right. So here in the Independent today, they're looking at these three cuisines, France, Britain, and Finland.
What do they say?
That's some of the oddities of these three cuisines. Now, should we talk about France or Britain first, the oddities of their cuisine?
Let's talk about Britain.
Okay, in Britain, here are some things that you may find on the menu in Britain, and this is why Jacques Chirac is critical of Britain. They've got toad in the hole.
Yeah.
Which is, do you know what that is?
Kind of. It's like a pastry with some stuff in it.
Sausages cooked in batter.
Yes.
Okay. They've got mushy peas.
Uh-huh.
Marrow fat peas with bicarbonate of soda. I didn't know you had bicarbonate of soda. Of soda.
That's disgusting.
In the peas. Why would you put...
That sounds vile.
The thing that you take when you get indigestion in the food to begin with. They're anticipating getting indigestion. It's a preemptive indigestive that they put into the food.
I'm sort of gagging over here. I feel really ill thinking of that.
Why don't they just give you an air sickness bag every time they give you a meal this way? They anticipate you're going to be throwing up and you're prepared. What else do they have in Britain? The haggis.
Yes, that's something fried.
Sheep's stomach stuffed with entrails. Entrails?
See?
That's like the three witches in Macbeth.
I'm gonna be ill by the end of this report.
Yeah, we're heading. Wait, you ain't heard nothing yet. Okay, what else do they have in Britain? Britain's culinary treats. Spotted dick in custard.
I think you get those in one of the Soho whorehouses, right?
It's outside the VD clinic. Spotted dick and custard stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's suet pudding with raisins.
Nice.
What's suet? Suet's like the fat that drips off the edge of a stove, isn't it? Like the bacon fat?
I guess so. I don't know.
That you find on the ceilings and the walls of a bad kind of greasy spoon restaurant. Isn't that the suet? So they scrape it off the wall and they put raisins in it and they serve it up as spotted dick in custard. That's a branding triumph.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Well, those are some of the so-called cuisine you'll find in Britain. Now, let's move on to France.
Okay.
France, you find, of course, frog's legs.
Yes, I've never tried them myself. Have you?
Yeah. Fried amphibian appendages, as they say here. In the okay. Independent newspaper. Okay, frog's legs. I'm not so sure this qualifies as, you know, disgusting. I mean, it's a frog. Big deal.
Is it crunchy?
No, it's meaty.
It's just meaty.
You get them actually down in the Var. The Var, you know, they're is ripe with frogs jumping everywhere. This is where I believe that they get a lot of the frogs for the frog's legs.
Okay.
Cuisse de grenelle, I believe, to use some of my excellent French language skills I learned down there in the south of France.
Uh-huh.
I paid more to learn French in the south of France than people pay to go to Harvard. on an hour-by-hour basis.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And I think it's reflected in my total comprehension of the language and the excellent way I can shape and form these words with an accent that many French people find they need an air sickness bag
okay.
when they listen to it. What else do they have in France? Culinary dishes. The pâté de foie gras.
That's good.
Extra fattened goose liver with extra fat. That's good, right?
I like it.
Well, you know what? We've gone native.
We have.
That's the problem.
See, none of this sounds gross to us.
It's just normal for us. Yeah. This is the thing. These cuisines, once you live in the culture, they become normal. They don't seem weird anymore. So since we live in France, okay, foie gras is absolutely normal.
Well, I have to say I lived in Britain for 10 years, and none of that other stuff sounds normal to me.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the point Jacques Chirac's trying to make. Here's a tête de veau, calf's brain, which is Chirac's favorite dish, the brain of a calf.
Okay, I do have a disgusted look on my face now, don't I?
Sweetbreads, I think it's called in America. I don't know why they got that name, sweetbreads. What the hell? There's a fly in my microphone. Go away. It's global warming. We're being infested. I hate that. I don't want to eat the goddamn fly. That's part of the French cuisine. Go away. God damn you, fly. What else do they have in France? Andouillette. Ah, there it is again. Go away. I'm taking the thing off.
Well, it's a culinary fly. He hears all the words you're talking about, all that French food. He's like, where is it?
Yeah, he wants to get fed. Yeah, he took away the CDs. Go away. God damn. Yeah, I killed it.
Because oh, that's
I'm such
really
an
nice.
Animal rights protector. I killed the fly.
With
that's it.
The microphone cover.
I'm giving my membership card from Stop Hunting and Animal Cruelty back. I'm pro-animal cruelty. Kill all the flies. Kill them.
A fly is technically not an animal, is it?
Insects don't qualify?
No.
What are they?
They're living.
What is it, vegetable?
They're living beings.
What are they, flying vegetables? Vegetables, carrots with wings?
In France, yeah.
Fly soup? Waiter, there's some soup in my fly. Stuffed fly canapé. No, that's not yet on the menu. How about, okay, here's another one. Andouillette.
That's pretty disgusting. That's kind of like that haggis, isn't it?
Let's see. Yeah, kind of. It's tripe sausage.
Okay.
Tripe sausage and andouillette. And the people I know in France, I like the way I pop. I'm going to put my microphone prophylactic back on.
Yeah, I'm sure our audience just loves all this noise. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Great. You think they're even awake? Our audience is still half asleep. They're big drinkers, our audience. They don't get up till like 3 in the afternoon. All right, what else? Andouillette, tripe sausage. Yeah, a lot of people in France who I know who like this andouillette stuff actually make a custom out of comparing the taste of various andouillette dishes. You know, how can I express this delicately? It tastes like the lower intestine. It has a smell like the lower intestine. So people are comparing the odor of this dish as compared with various lower intestinal situations they've been involved with, most principally sexual. Okay.
That's so gross.
You know, the sexual act of oral sex puts one's olfactory senses in the proximity of the lower intestinal area, which emits an odor which has different characteristics amongst different people.
Yeah.
Okay? So this generates a certain olfactory sensation that is conflated with the sex act.
Uh-huh.
So when you're eating this andouillette, as I've spoken to some French people about this, they equate it with sex because they're inhaling this odor, and this odor is inseparable from the genitalia, which is being the subject of the of oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
So andouillette is a very sexual dish.
Yeah, imagine serving that with camembert.
Not to mention the dish here of mussels.
Yes.
You know, mussels. If you look at a mussel or a moule, as they're referred to here in France, it has an unmistakable sexual appearance. The female genitalia.
Okay.
In the moule, complete with the little clitoris thing. And in the common vernacular, the female genitalia is referred to as moule. Now, this is something I also learned at my high-priced French school down there in the south of France.
This is what they taught you?
They taught me all of one of the female teachers and one of the women teachers.
Oh, okay. I'm sure.
She did a point and speak.
Uh-huh.
You point and speak.
Uh-huh.
Now, what else do they have in France? They've got the Vieux Boulogne, I think is the way to say that.
What's that?
The world's smelliest cheese.
Oh, really?
Now, once again, smell kicking in as a very important factor.
Yeah.
So this is the French list of culinary delicacies that, according to this independent newspaper columnist, qualify as unusual.
Okay.
Along with the British counterparts of toad in the hole, mushy peas, haggis, and spotted dick and custard. Now let's move on to Finland.
Oh, you're going to join the bandwagon of ridiculing the Finns, aren't you? I could sense it.
Well, I'm just reviewing the information in this piece.
You know, I am. My family's from Finland.
Honey,
so.
We talk about that almost every single day on this show. How would anyone not be aware that of this fact that you are from a Finnish stock?
Okay, so let me see if I've eaten any of this stuff.
Elk balls in elk sauce. Have you had that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I used to go to these Finnish Christmas parties every year, and we ate all sorts of weird food. Maybe I had elk balls. I don't know.
I think that's called foreplay. Elk balls in elk sauce. Yes, what is this? Meatballs in a fruity elk gravy. Fruity? What are they, gay elk?
I don't know.
What
maybe.
Are these,
maybe.
What are these, elk down in the Marais?
They do prance around a lot.
What else they got here? They've got something here called mustamakara. Mustamakara. This is blood sausage. Served with lingonberry jam and mashed turnip.
I've had that.
Oh, I've seen this. I've seen this in the shop. I never knew what this is. This is a very interesting looking thing. It has a very black outer covering, which you don't really expect in a sausage. But it's blood sausage served with lingonberry jam. You've had that.
Yeah. Yep.
Have you had lutefisk?
Lutefisk.
Yeah. Lutefisk.
That was
not
my first boyfriend.
Not Luke's fist. We're not talking about Luke's fist. We're talking about lutefisk.
What is it?
Air-dried whitefish.
Yes, yes. I thought that was what it was. Yes.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Well,
why are you holding back?
I wasn't
me?
Certain. Because you confused me by saying Luke's fist.
And then that you remember.
I remember.
You had some boyfriend named Luke.
Yes, I
and
did. Luca.
Is vivid in your memory.
Yeah.
I see. Here's one called Mammy.
Okay, I don't know that.
Malt porridge flavored with spices.
Okay.
Malt porridge flavored. Mm-hmm. You don't know that one either.
No. I mean, it just sounds like oatmeal.
Well, if you want to join this exciting debate on regional cuisine, give us a, what are we going to do today? Email?
Email, lefrickshow@gmail.com.
Yeah, give us an email, lefrickshow@gmail.com. My name is Max. I'm here with Stacy. We're here in the mornings here at Paris Live Radio. We're anxiously awaiting the results of the Olympic Committee's decision. Who will win the big Olympics?
Chirac is over there in Singapore, where they're going to announce it at 8 o'clock Singapore time today, tonight.
Okay. What time is that here locally? Do we know?
I'll go check it out. But you can bet by first thing tomorrow morning, when we're back again, we're going to be able to tell you all.
That sounds truly and utterly fantastic. So send us an email. And if you also have ideas about some of your local cuisine, some of the things you might think are unusual in your local, you know, for example, our Serbian friend. What are some of the unusual culinary delicacies of Serbia?
Yeah, exactly.
A lead milkshake, for example. Or a bullet salad there in Serbia. Don't go away. We'll be back with a lot more Le Frick Show right after this.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
More of what you're frickin' for. This is The Frick Show. My name is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacy Herbert. Every day we break it on down for you, so you don't have to. We heard a little Yves Montand with a kind of a novelty song there. I heard him laughing uproariously. Eve Montan, thank heaven for little girls. That's the song that people in America think about when they think of Eve Montan. Except in the Catholic Church, they rewrote the song, thank heaven for little boys. Very excited. It's kind of their theme song. You know, I saw something in the Financial Times today, little squirrely squirrel.
What's that, honey bun?
Well, I saw, first of all, that the Financial Times was voted as the most respected newspaper in the world by a poll this week.
Yay, I voted.
The New York Times was kicked down to number 6. Obviously, ooh, embedding journalists in fake wars didn't help their reputation any. Suckers. Meanwhile, the Financial Times, which just gives you the prices, lets you make up your own mind, voted number 1. That's what we say in this show. Just look at the prices and blow away all the rhetoric and the propaganda. Price precedes news. This is a saying on Wall Street. Price precedes news. Markets discount reality before reality discounts reality. They have a sixth sense many times if you know how to read the tea leaves of the markets. But anyway, in the Financial Times, I saw something here from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They're criticizing Russia, saying, is Russia really ready to join the G8? They say the world's largest and most prosperous democracies share fundamental values that apparently Russia does not share. Then they list 5 values. And I think, you know, somebody there at the Defense of Democracies Foundation should just put down the crack pipe for a moment and smell the revolution here. For example, they say a democratic country needs to have strong democratic institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
fair enough.
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But this is not what we're seeing in the so-called Western states. Because obviously, in the UK and the US, recently they've bypassed their democratic institutions to make an illegal war in Iraq and to start killing Iraqis for Exxon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is they have democratic institutions, but do they use them? No, they're going around them.
Because even in Iraq, it's been proven that George Bush was bombing Iraq before even Congress gave him an authority.
Okay, so that's, Congress is part of your democratic institution. That's great, but if the leaders don't use them, what's the point? Human rights supported by an independent judiciary.
Oh, yeah, that's happening in America. That's happening in Britain.
An independent judiciary. Well, the Supreme Court in America is stacked with cronies that obviously are in bed with the corporations. They're not independent. They're on the take.
Mm-hmm.
The corporate agenda has infiltrated the Supreme Court, and we see this in ruling after ruling after ruling. Just recently, we saw this Napster ruling where the Supreme Court came down in favor of private corporations at the expense of the public domain. This says, no, this is not good for the public domain. This is not good for the public. It's not good for the common good. It's only good for corporations. Try to, anyway. They also recommend transparency in government and business.
Oh, yes. Wasn't there a report out yesterday showing that the Bush administration is the most secretive of any American administration ever?
How about that committee that Bush set up to design his energy policy with Dick Cheney at the head of it?
Yeah. Who is a member of that?
Yeah, who was a member of that committee?
We're not allowed to know, are we?
And it's a secret. It's a state secret.
Hmm.
That's not transparent, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a duplicitous nightmare. Then they go on to say that they look for non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction.
Okay.
Okay, well, Iraq had no weapons of mass financial destruction, but America dropped depleted uranium on their heads. So which one has the weapons of mass destruction? Now Coca-Cola is trying to take that irradiated water and make new Coke, new glowing Coke. The more you drink, the brighter you get.
Yeah, not intelligence.
Then the fifth requirement for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies is that you need respect for individual property rights.
Oh, yeah. Again, what happened this Monday?
Eminent domain.
Yep.
Eminent domain.
No more private property in America.
Eminent domain. Unless... Now, let's follow up on this eminent domain thing. So,
okay.
In other words, people in America think they're defending democracy when, in fact, they're defending an autocracy, a consumer autocracy, forced consumption.
Mm-hmm.
It's this trend all over the world of mixing dictatorships with consumption. We're seeing it in China, North Korea, see it in Russia, see it in the United States. It's forced consumption because it's more beneficial to the leaders at the top than forced labor, which is how they've made their money in the past. Whether it's slave labor in America, of course, they outlawed slavery in America, but then they outsourced their slavery to China, and they've outsourced slavery to other countries. They still are operating under the slave mentality, which is forced labor. But now, in America and elsewhere, they figured out that forced consumption is more profitable for the guys at the top, including the banks. The banks reporting, as we talked about yesterday, more huge gains in earnings, 30% earnings gains, which is impossible unless, A, you are dealing with money launderers who are and the other high-margin business is the luxury goods sellers. The drug dealers and money launderers buy the luxury goods businesses while they're forcing capital through these big banks, and they're pocketing huge amounts of money. This is why the only three industries in the world that have 30% plus margins of profit are banks, drug dealing, and luxury goods manufacturers, because they're all supporting each other. And to understand this, you understand then why there's a failure, as it was reported today, in stopping the flow of drugs, because it's too profitable by these groups of people to stop. They're just simply not going to stop. Anyway. So let's look at the Lionel Shriver, shall we?
She's a woman.
Yeah, she's a woman. She writes in the newspaper, one of these newspapers.
The Guardian.
The Guardian. She's an American. She lives in Britain.
Uh-huh.
She's talking about eminent domain. After nearly 20 years of exposure to the virus in the UK, this woman finally bought some property. But the Supreme Court decision on eminent domain last month has guaranteed that I won't buy any property in the United States. Known in Britain as the compulsory purchase, eminent domain is one of those fancy euphemisms akin to manifest destiny. We talk about manifest destiny in this show.
Yes, we do.
A doctrine during my country's westward expansion that meant America will take your nation's land because we can. Right, this is what pushed the Indians onto reservations, because America had this idea that they were working with God. It was their destiny to kill the red man and to set up Walmarts. Eminent domain is manifest destiny for the little man, she says, meaning the government will take your private property because it can. So this is very interesting. After the government pushed the red man off the land to put up Walmart, now they've run out of land to push. There's no more Indians. They've made them virtually extinct, like many of the species that are becoming extinct. And this is why we protect, this is why we're for animal rights activists, because they're for protecting the rights of animals, because we believe the drug companies, once they run out of animals to test, will start testing animals on humans.
So yeah, support that's your local, very likely.
Support your local animal rights activists is a form of self-support, is a form of survival. So anyway, so now that they've pushed all the red, they've killed, virtually made the red man extinct in America, they want to go back and start from the beginning, and they want to make all the middle class extinct. They want to set reservations for the middle class,
mm-hmm.
which are known as like these developments from Disney, Celebration being an example.
Yeah.
That's a reservation for the middle class,
mm-hmm.
where they live on the company land, they eat the company food, they drive the company car. It's like a reservation for yuppies. Because
So they're going to start taking those lands, or are they going to start putting more and more middle class people in those little sort of reserves? Okay.
They're going to put more of these middle class people on these yuppie plantations, yuppie reserves.
Okay.
Okay, now commonly evoked in the service of public works such as highways and hospitals, eminent domain is in the American Constitution. That's right, because over the course of the years, occasionally if you come up with a public good like a hospital, the government will say, you know, we're going to buy your house at the fair market, we're going to build a hospital, and everyone's going to benefit. Okay, this is kind of the concept of eminent domain, but now it's been completely bastardized. The government has to give you a fair price for your land, though it's the government that sets the fair price.
Mm-hmm.
Little conflict there. A disagreeable business, even in the instance of highways and hospitals. You buy your house, presumably you're attached to it, and then you're bullied into giving it up for a greater public good right after you finally sprang for that new kitchen. Then again, we do need hospitals. Okay, so she's saying that she can understand why that might be a good idea. But check this out. Because of the latest Supreme Court ruling, a municipality can commandeer your property, whether you like it or not, and give it to a private developer.
That doesn't sound fair.
No. It just sounds like white people killing the red man again, except it's white people killing white people this time. Rich people killing poor people. The reasoning? It serves the greater public good to increase the tax base. So if you're living on a house and you've owned the house for generations, You're not really paying property tax anymore because you own, well, you pay property tax, but you're not participating in a big way in the economy because you're self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is being penalized here. Because if you tear down your house and build a Quickie Mart, that Quickie Mart's going to generate more tax base, and that's more important than your house. It's more important to the people who are building Quickie Marts and the people who own the Quickie Mart shares on the stock exchange. If the government can make more money from you than from a Walmart than your ramshackle bungalow, tough luck, she says. Get out. Before we go into why my jaw dropped at the ruling, she goes on to talk about this a little bit more. Retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor asserted in her dissenting opinion that under the banner of economic development, all private property is now vulnerable to being taken and transferred to another private owner, so as long as it might be upgraded. This hand-in-glove relationship between government and corporations, okay, we talk about this on this show all the time, that the government is basically a front for the corporate model.
Yes.
And we're using corporate model now instead of neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is jargon. And it doesn't do a lot to explain what it is we're talking about. We're getting rid of it. We're scrapping the term neoliberalism from the show somewhat. We're talking about the corporate agenda. And I'm going to be talking more about this.
Which now means the U.S. agenda as well.
Exactly right. Much more coming your way on the Frick Show, so stay tuned. Paris Live Radio.
Don't touch that dial, or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
Yeah, by the way, if Paris wins the Olympic bid, Renzi, the grand guru of Paris Live Radio, has said that he's sponsoring an open bar night at the Moosehead in the 6th Arrondissement Mall. Free drinks all night at the Moosehead if Paris wins the Olympic bid, courtesy of Renzi, the grand guru of Paris Live Radio.
I think, do you think he's going to be happy with it?
He's going to be ecstatic.
Okay.
Plus, he'll be inebriated. He'll wake up the next day and have a huge bar bill. I wonder where that came from. Where did that come from? Let's see what else we got here. Government-sponsored confiscation by big business of private property. Oh, my God. This hand-in-glove relationship, says Lionel Shriver in the Guardian newspaper, between government and corporations validates the most outlandish conspiracy theories promoted by the likes of Michael Moore, whom I detest, she says. So I'm doubly irked. Moreover, the ruling exposes the fact that government is not only in league with the corporations, it is a corporation. If broadening the tax base is sufficient reason to violate a citizen's rights, it's open season. That's an interesting concept there. Open season. Now, what is that phrase? Where does that phrase appear most often? In the hunting business,
hunting.
When it becomes open season, you can then hunt for elk to make your finish elk ball soup. For example.
Yeah.
Open season. What we've said on our show is that there are 250 million guns in America. The government has decided that people don't own their private land, but Quickie Mart owns their private land, and all the private interests of the corporations own their private land. This is setting things up to be a nasty little confrontation, I think. Armed insurrection. We've been talking about it on this show for weeks. People have been questioning whether this is such a good thing to talk about. Armed insurrection sounds somewhat seditious. But here we have Lionel Shriver, who's an American writing in the independent newspaper in the UK, basically declaring open season on the U.S. government by U.S. private property holders, the people with the guns. Exercise your Second Amendment right. Take arms against your government. That's what it's there for. Okay, if they're going to shred up the Constitution, leave that Second Amendment right in there that says if the government tries to take over your land, because the government has a tendency to become absolutely corrupt, absolute power breeds absolute corruption, then use your gun for something good, defending your private property. And we're going to talk about an example how this is already playing out. It's not that we're calling for sedition and armed insurrection. We're just we're calling what we see to be an inevitable situation because of the fallacies and inadequacies of this government to defend themselves from takeover by corporations because they have inadequately defended themselves from a takeover from a corporation. The corporations have done a hostile raid. They've taken over the government, and now they're pushing their agenda in a way that's completely untenable, unsustainable, unacceptable. And it's very unbelievable that you're not going to have an unwarranted amount of unhappy citizens packing Uzis, going down there, gunning down these private property whores. Open season, she says. Okay, now, frankly, it's already open season. All right. Governments, like companies, are all about self-perpetuation and therefore about lining their own coffers. The main difference is that generally a company has to give you a product for your money and the government doesn't. Okay, then she goes into a discussion about the stamp duty, which is a UK phenomenon, has to do with real estate transactions. We're not going to go into that right now. Yeah. Okay. Then it gets into Ken Livingstone. He's the mayor of London. We won't go there either. But let's switch over quickly to what's happening already as a result of this eminent domain clash.
In the UK.
Is it in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Guardian newspaper reports that an officer was shot and seriously injured yesterday as he tried to talk to a man said to be threatened with eviction from his home.
Is yeah, that? So apparently his old lady died. His mother died. He was living with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
She died, and then the state wanted the house back.
Mm-hmm. Police Constable David Lomas, 34, from Bury, near Manchester, was shot in the upper torso. He was airlifted to the Royal Preston Hospital, where he underwent surgery. PC Lomas. Did I like the way my voice cracked there? PC Lomas.
PC Lomas.
Who joined the force 4 years ago and is a local community beat officer, is in comfortable condition. His injuries are not thought to be life-threatening. Oh, okay, so this guy is okay. But nevertheless, the confrontation between landowners and cops has begun in earnest in the UK. And I think we're going to see this happening in the US as well.
I think so. And actually, in that UK case, the guy made a homemade bomb mm-hmm. and threw it, lodged it at them. But all, you know, typical response, all the neighbors say, and he was such a quiet man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The quiet man.
The quiet man with the Uzi in the home.
With a couple of Uzis under the bed. Take my house. Don't tread on me. Who? What state was that? Don't tread on me.
Oh, it's in New England somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the state motto.
Yeah, exactly.
But the ominous thing coming out of America on top of this eminent domain, i.e. the government's going to... The corporate government is going to start taking your land, is that for the first time, probably since the Civil War, I guess, America's going to start deploying, they've written up a new policy that they're going to start deploying the U.S. Army on U.S. territory. Previously, it was always used to protect America from foreign invasion.
That's right. There was no standing army in America to attack Americans.
You were only allowed the National Guard.
That's right.
So now they're going to start, according to a new Pentagon strategy for securing the U.S. homeland.
Right. So 9/11, once again, a massive land grab
yeah.
by the powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the army attacking government, standing army attacking your own citizens.
No.
But because of 9/11, in the interest of security, they started the Homeland Security.
Yes.
And now the Homeland Security has morphed into a police force going to be policing and attacking and putting the army in the face of those living right there in the United States.
Well, it sounds like the monarchy.
That's right.
This is the problem with monarchies.
So it's not government by or for the people. This is an interesting point because the entire American experiment is breaking down. Just like the environment is breaking down, which is what we talk about on the show quite often, the American experiment in democracy is breaking down in real time. The very cherished institutions that separated America from all of the countries before it as a land by and for the people, as this massive experiment in social self-rule and self-rule by the government is breaking down because those at the top are using 9/11 and the fear of a phantom security attack or from a couple of nuts in the somewhere to dismantle the entire country so that it becomes more profitable for them. And this is why people are angry. This is why people are going to, there's going to be armed confrontation, and we're already seeing that happening right now. This is Paris Live Radio.
That's the weather report music.
What's the weather?
The weather today, it's kind of cloudy, overcast here in Paris. Down in Louisiana, Cindy is hit. Cindy's wreaking a bit of havoc. Apparently, according to a study out in May, did you realize that the hurricane season is forecast to be 36% more deadly than normal. More volatile, more abundant than normal.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so Cindy's only a tropical storm. She's landed in Louisiana. So if you're in Louisiana, start playing some jazz. But
they're so fat in Louisiana, they won't be able to run away. It's one of the fattest states in the country. They eat all those deep-fried shrimps and oysters. You know, the military has a problem in America because they can't recruit people because the people showing up for recruitment offices are fat. They're too fat to be recruited into the armed services.
Yeah, they call it a national security threat. Actually, it was 20% of men and 43% of women who came in to apply for the Army were too fat. They had to turn them away.
So you got this corporate agenda down there in America, over there in America, that ends up treating people like pigs in a foie gras farm or ducks in a foie gras farm. Now, when it comes to recruiting service people to go over to Iraq and kill people, you run out of people who are fit to do so. Now you've hit the fat group. They've drilled down to the fat layer, the fat population. They can't fit into their uniforms. Their eyes, they've got diabetes or cross-eyed. They can't shoot straight. That's a problem. Well, it doesn't matter. They just indiscriminately shoot at anybody over there with dark skin. As long as you can tell a dark-skinned person to shoot them. But then they got the contractors who are fighting with the military officers as well. So it's a bit of a civil war happening in Iraq where the U.S. contractors who are there for Exxon are killing U.S. soldiers who are actually trying to defend democracy rights of some type. Is that the way it goes?
It's white U.S. American, privileged U.S. Americans making... Well, the U.S. contractors for Casey and Titan and Halliburton are making something like $20,000 tax-free a month.
Yeah.
Of course, the poor black guys who are the U.S. soldiers are making like $1,000 a month. They're denied health care coverage when they get back. And, you know, they're being shot by Casey employees.
Yeah, the white contractors are killing the black man in Iraq. Black Americans. Because they're diabetic. They've got cross eyes. They're fat. They're stupid. They can't tell black American from a dark-skinned Muslim, Iraqi. So they just shoot him. They have to figure it's the enemy, so we're just going to kill him.
You think so?
I think that's what's going on over there.
Or it's not some new civil war going on in America.
It's just a civil war in America being played out, that's being outsourced.
I think they're sending all those black people over there because they actually want their land in the South.
Eminent domain. So instead of trying to go through any kind of formal process to steal the black man, so they gave the black man 40 acres and a mule.
And now they're taking them back.
Now they're taking back all 40 acres and the mule.
Yep.
That was too much. They're trying to give it back. They're Indian givers, of course. They ascribe a negative connotation to the red man who they already slaughtered. And the black man somehow, in the 60s, during a lapse of neo-fascism in America, got rights. Now they want to take them back. Take back the 40 acres and the mule.
And you know, you notice what the evangelical, the white Americans have done. They've stole the black man's religion because they realize that that's what inspired them. That's what gave them like this authority and this, you know, confidence to
that's
demand
right.
their rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all, you know, the same under God.
Evangelical Baptists.
So now the evangelical Baptists, the white guys, have stolen their religion.
Now you've got white evangelicals.
They stole their religion, they stole their land, and then they sent them off to Iraq.
To get killed. Because they don't want the competition. Because U.S. corporations don't like to compete. They like government subsidies. They like corporate welfare. They like to be monopolists. They don't want to compete. Microsoft doesn't want to compete. It's a convicted predatory monopolist. Coca-Cola doesn't like to compete. They like to go to Iraq. They like to send in some murderous thugs, kill people, then set up a bottling plant to bottle nuke glowing water Coke. They don't like to compete. They don't want to compete with Mecca Cola, Muslim Cola.
Arab Cola.
They don't want to compete. They want the whole enchilada. So that's not free market. That's not a democratic institution. It's forced to consumption. It's dictatorship capitalism. Well, here's an interesting story. I appeal to our listeners to send money.
To who?
To the Send Max and Stacy to Iraq Fund.
Oh, yes. And if you want to be our bodyguard, by the way.
Yeah. A contingent, because check this out. A contingent of conservative talk radio hosts is headed to Iraq this month on a mission to report, quote, the truth about the war. American troops are winning, they believe, despite headlines to the contrary. The, quote, truth tour has been pulled together by the conservative web, K podcast, radio group, righttalk.com, and Move America Forward, a nonprofit conservative group backed by Republican Link public relations firm in California.
Who's that, the CIA?
The reason why we are doing it is we are sick and tired of seeing and hearing headlines by the mainstream media about our defeat in Iraq.
Oh, probably only because your general there says you're losing.
They're tired of seeing.
Anyway, anything. Send us money. We're going. We're going. And we're going to. What are we going to do there?
Well, Melanie Morgan, a talk radio host for KSFO Radio in San Francisco and co-chair of Move America Forward, said that they were going there because they need to, tell the truth about what's going on. And so I want our listeners to send us money so that we can go to Iraq and kill these conservative talk show radio hosts.
Yeah, because that's legal there in Iraq.
Yeah.
There are no laws.
There's no laws.
Americans are subject to no laws there.
There you go.
So
we can find Rush Limbaugh, gun him down in the street like a dog. Send us money. Yeah.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation on the groove. It's a big family.
The Frick Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey. Every day for 2 hours. Well, before the break, we were talking about this contingent of conservative American talk show hosts, radio talk show hosts, flying over to Baghdad into the Green Zone to report from the Green Zone about how America is winning the war in Iraq. Our suggestion is you give us some money, send us some money. We'll fly over to Iraq, track down these American conservative talk show hosts, and kill them. Because there are no laws in the Green Zone. We won't be prosecuted. We're free to kill them. And this could be the greatest contribution to America's savior yet, because you're getting rid of all the propagandists on the right who purport to put together an agenda that is obviously detrimental to the U.S. long-term survivability and health, because it's supporting an administration that's stripping away everything that made America great at one time, but no longer exists. Stacey Herbert.
It had to happen. As soon as you put down the evangelical right-wing nutcases,
yeah,
like Rush Limbaugh, all his fans start flooding in with hate mail.
Oh, no.
I actually had a special song made for this, but I don't have it with me. And it went something like, hate mail from America. Hate mail from America. Anyway, some guy wrote in and said, you guys epitomize the ugly American. Ill-informed, arrogant, loudmouthed, overbearing, and boring.
The boring is the thing I'm most concerned about. Arrogant and loudmouthed, I can deal with.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Overbearing, definitely.
Yes, sure.
Ill-informed, no.
No, I don't care. That's not true.
None of us really know the true extent of America's
crimes. Well, my knowledge base is based on a reading of the markets, which is what becomes the reality, because the history of the past 30 years has been to move away, as we've been talking about. The governments have been co-opted by corporations that rely on the markets. So you have to know how to read the markets to understand what's going on in public policy. It's stupid to try to understand what the governments are telling us that is in the best interest of our lives, because they're being co-opted by the corporations. You have to look at what the corporations look at to find out what's in the best interest of their lives, thus our lives, which are the markets.
And markets never lie. They only offer conundrums at worst.
Markets tell the price, and this is the price, and this price has some meaning to you, or it doesn't. Now, the fact is that based on America's slip-sliding down and back through the ages into a pre-democratic state means that the market's going to react in certain ways, and we've got bets placed on that eventuality. There's no reason why I should participate in America's decline. I mean, I've been a taxpayer my whole life, and I've been a supportive of the American model, my whole life. But when the government gives up and they start to hack the Constitution to bits and they go against the greater interest of the public, and they kill the middle class with eminent domain and things like this, why should I be suffering? I mean, I've got, you know, my assets diversified out of that hellhole. Okay? And I think, for example, we talk about gold. Gold is, you know, Stacey Herbert.
Yes,
I saw that in the Wall Street Journal yesterday that the hot major for undergraduates is economics. Okay? U.S. colleges and universities awarded 16,141 degrees in economics majors in 2003 and 2004 academic year, up 40%.
It's called instinctive survival.
Exactly. People understand that their lives are tied into the macroeconomic picture, which are tied into the markets, and these markets are now accessible through micro markets like spread betting, online betting, which is a reflection on the big macro picture, like the Hollywood Stock Exchange, which is a reflection of the Hollywood industry, which I invented. Okay, don't call me ill-informed. I invented part of this economy. The Hollywood Stock Exchange virtual specialist technology, which is now being used, for example, attemptedly used by the Pentagon in their famous policy analysis market to try to predict terrorist strikes. Okay, but they were stupid because did they do their due diligence to find out what the limitations of such a technology would be? Not really. They just figure it's an easy way to make money for themselves in the terror market. And then it opens up this whole can of worms. Like, well, is the government really sponsoring bin Laden at the behest of a few insiders trading option contracts? We talked about this yesterday, that there's already massive speculation going on, the price of oil topping $80 a barrel. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that those bets will pay off if the people putting on those bets, and it's an anonymous market, are also making the policies that would end up with a disruption in the pipelines and a disruption in the global markets that would pay off for these oil contracts being in the $80. So who's zooming who, as Aretha Franklin might ask? It's the tail wagging the dog. Where are we in all this? The only way you can figure it out is to understand where the market's going, understand pricing. This is why economics is the hot topic all over the world. And why a book like Freakonomics is on the bestseller list, and a technology like the virtual specialist technology that I invented is became worth $100 million at one point in Los Angeles as National Broadcasting Corporation tried to muscle in. You know, that's a whole nother story, which is covered this month in Imagine Magazine Belgium. They've got a cover story on Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert by association.
Thanks.
The Frick Show.
Do you want to hear the rest of this guy's email?
I don't know. I feel like I'm on, he's got my dander up. What else is this loser saying? Where's he writing from?
I don't know.
Hopefully not in the neighborhood.
No.
We'll have to get our TAC-9. You see that McDonald's, by the way, is hiring P. Diddy to redesign the uniforms at McDonald's. They want to make it a little more hip, a little more hip-hop. So this is clearly an indication. Here's an economic concept for you, that the hip-hop economy is topping out. Because you've got McDonald's, which are not really the cutting edge of the culture wars, adopting hip-hop to sell the trashy burgers. So this is a hip-hop top. But P. Diddy, of course, he'll take the money. Fine, he'll redesign the uniforms. You know, McDonald's said last month, and we did this on our show in London, The Truth About Markets, they offered anyone $5 every time a song was played using the phrase Big Mac.
How did your song go? You wrote your own.
Yeah, I wrote a song, and I've been waiting for my check from Big Mac because I mention it on the radio all the time from McDonald's because I mentioned Big Mac in my song. Okay? I think it went something like, by the way, a Mac 10 is a form of is a gun. By the way, the Mac 10 is a submachine gun or an automatic machine gun. My song went something like, you know, I got my bitches then pay me when I shoot them with my Mac 10. My Big Mac 10. That's what I want when my bitches then. Okay, there's a hip-hop song. It's got bitches. It's got guns. Where's my money? I mentioned Big Mac. I get $5. Where's my $5, Big McDonald's? Okay, I'm waiting. Where's my money? So anyway, rolling back the... So do you want to... What else did this guy say? This listener, this former listener of the show.
This fundamentalist. He says, aside from being arrogant, loudmouth, overbearing, and boring, that you're fair-weather greenies to boot...
Okay, yeah,
you
mean,
can tell he's American
greenies?
Because greenies is a bad word there, and so is liberal, right? I don't know.
What is a fair weather greenie? If you're still listening, what do you mean fair weather greenie? I don't get it. I'm not a fair weather greenie. I attack greens every day. I'm never their friend.
Exactly. So
I'm not a fair weather greenie. I'm not a friend of greenies at all. I attack them every day. They suck.
Go buy Imagine Magazine today. It's out there on the newsstand in Brussels.
They're talk shops. They do nothing. They give a false sense of accomplishment. Friends of the Earth, Oxfam, Greenpeace. It's a waste of money. They don't do blah.
Okay.
They don't do blah.
And he says, you call yourself anti-capitalist.
Yeah.
But never have we said that.
We're not anti-capitalist. We've never said we're anti-capitalist. We're for recalibrating capitalism, reinventing capitalism like the technology I've invented that I've alluded to already in this rant. Okay? We're not anti-capitalist. We're anti-stupidity, like the Bush administration. The Bush administration are capitalists. They're not for fair markets. They're not for equalized markets of supply and demand. They want monopolies. They support monopolists. Bill Gates is a monopolist. He's a predatory, convicted monopolist twice over. He's going into China with a monopoly product. Chinese say, we don't want your monopoly unless you agree to get rid of the words freedom and democracy, which he said, okay, give me the money. Okay, is that American? Is that American to turn your back on freedom and democracy? No, he's not. He's not a capitalist. Bill Gates is a autocratic dictator, consumer dictator. He's a consumer dictator, which you see in China and North Korea now. It's not capitalism, as you might understand it to be, free and open markets. They're faux markets. In the UK, it's a faux market. When you give the private assets like the rail system over to a private contractor who takes all the reward, but when it breaks down, they get none of the risk. So as Lord Brown of British Petroleum has called it, it's a faux market. It's a pseudo market. That's not capitalism. That's free. That's not democratic. So this guy, okay, he's wrong on several points. Okay, because we're innovative, because we're talking about something new, and because I'm American, yeah, okay, I sound like an American. He's making three major misassumptions. One, I'm an ugly American. Okay, that's obviously not true. I was voted one of the 10 handsomest Americans living in Paris by Foie Gras magazine. Number two, that I'm a greenie, fair-weather greenie. That's wrong. I'm anti-green. I'm never their friend. Three, I'm anti-capitalist. I'm not anti-capitalist either. So this guy is just making some quick assumptions because he's not thinking through. This is the problem in America now is that people just go through these hot buttons. You know, the right-wing media, which is embedded in the government, are colluding, and they come up with hotbed issues that immediately polarize the entire nation, and there's no debate. So you just say something like, oh, abortion. Okay, the debate is over now. Now you've got the right wing, the left wing, and they just take pot shots at each other. There's no debate. In a democratic and a free society, there's debate. And this is no longer existing in America. You just have complete polarization on every single issue right down the board, except for complete non-important trivial issues, which is the role of the celebrity culture, to make people feel as though they're debating important issues, like whether or not Tom Cruise's Scientology will result in some meaningful impact on box office. I mean, this is not a, who cares? This is not an important debate. But people use the debate as if it means that they're debating in general, which they're not. Anything that has anything substantive to talk about, they don't debate. Send us your email at lefrickshow@gmail.com.